Hey y'all, this is Dally Thomas with Red Dirt Merch. Today we've got Texas country singer and songwriter Kayla Ray. How's it going, Kayla?
It's going. I'm surviving. How are y'all?
Oh, we're doing pretty good over here. So, for those who haven't heard of you, can you tell us a little about yourself and how you got started in the Texas country music scene?
Sure, I can try. I grew up in Robinson, Texas, just south of Waco. I mean, it's pretty much spitting distance between the two, so I call Waco home. But I grew up there, you know, just started playing circuit bars. I came up, my grandparents raised me, and there was a little Baptist church just down the road, and I got so lucky because our church band was, our pastor was a circuit musician before he went to the seminary, and our whole band was just awesome all the time. There was steel guitar, his son played steel guitar, there was mandolin, and, you know, a full drum kit. It was not your typical church band, it was a country band. And they were so gracious to me, so I learned a lot from them. And then, you know, I just started playing every chance I got from, you know, as soon as I became old enough. My grandparents were people that, you know, certainly didn't go out at night, so I had to, you know, be grown before I could start to get out and play. But they were very supportive of it. So I played around a lot, and then I just got pretty lucky, and I picked up the Jason Eady gig. I kind of just started selling merch for him when I was not playing myself, and that ended up, you know, I traveled with him for almost 3 years and ended up tour managing the band before I left to go tour my own stuff. So that's kind of a condensed version, but it's been a lot of fun so far.
That's awesome. Well, how would you describe your sound?
I mean, I love country music and what I believe it's supposed to be. I don't, you know, I think that there's a fear about getting pigeonholed as a traditionalist. And I'm certainly not ashamed to be a traditionalist, but I don't ever want to be boxed into that. But I believe in using really good, clean tones, you know, that evoke emotion, and just to do my best to be transparent, you know, whether that's good or bad, you know. I think more than anything, I want to make music that is relatable. That's kind of the idea, you know, to help folks not feel isolated in their everyday. That's certainly what music does for me. So, I mean, it definitely is country, and it's pretty stone cold, like, you know, hardcore country music. But it's so strange that we live in a time where I feel like to differentiate what type of country music it is, you know?
Right. Yeah, because there's so many different types of country music out there now, you know,
sure.
from growing up in the 50s to now. You know, if you go back into the 50s and you say country music, you're like, okay, that's country music. And it's like there's no different other type of country music than that. So who would you say some of your inspirations are?
I'm a pretty huge Merle Haggard nut, and I don't think I'll ever grow out of it, and I feel like I'm more than okay with it. You know, he wrote and he played instruments and did it so well. He never stopped learning. He was so just hell-bent on learning the fiddle. He was a well-established artist, and he just decided he was going to learn to play the fiddle so that he could do a Bob Wills tribute record. And that is a huge undertaking, but he did it. You know, and there's rumor that he had to, like, have his own bus because the rest of the band could not stand to listen to him or to play the fiddle, and he was so stubborn about the growth that he did that. You know, he writes, he plays, he's very transparent. He acknowledges parts of life that maybe are not always positive, but they're very real. You know, so definitely him. And, you know, I love Tammy Wynette and anybody that that hurts a little, that's sad to say. You know, and as far as writers, I mean, I really, really love, of course, Towns and Guy Clark, the ones you're supposed to, you know. I don't know. Anything that reflects truth is kind of my bag.
Right. And anyone that listens to your music can actually, you can hear that original, that truth-filled lyrics that you put out there that you kind of bring to your music, just like Patsy Cline, Loretta Lynn, Tammy Wynette did, you know.
Thanks.
Like you said, you've had a kind of a full experience in the Texas country music scene industry with from being a tour manager for Jason Eady and his band starting in 2012, and then to releasing multiple albums of your own, and was even named Texas Regional Radio's Music Awards New Female Vocalist of the Year in 2015.
Man, that was such a funny thing. I had a gig book that night at home of that award show, and I didn't ever figure I would win. And I thought it was really nice of them to nominate me, but like the boys and I had to work, you know.
Right.
But I guess it was Dave Smith, which I realize now is a pretty big deal, you know. Like, he's the one that runs all that. He emailed me personally and said, "Hey, if you can be here, you really should." I was really blown away by that.
How would you describe your experience so far with all that you've gone through in the Texas country music scene?
That's a good question. I don't know. The way that I grew up, my life was a little bit tremulous from the get-go, and I think that it served as an advantage because I'm not, you know, when you have nothing, you know, there's nothing. That's the cliche of me to say, but you know, that's the Christofferson thing. There's, you know, there's nothing to lose. So I just have allowed the music to take me wherever it will, and I have traveled further than I ever dreamed I would get to, and I feel so lucky all the time to get to do it. Even if it was just sloughing gear and selling merch and listening to people talk and trying to figure out how in the world the monster worked, you know, I didn't come from a place of like, some people are fortunate, you know, to have, I guess, lots of commerce or like big sponsors right out the gate or a team of people that were teaching them and showing them how to do it. I just went to work, and I just have not stopped doing that. It's been crazy, and I've had so many just incredible experiences, but it's definitely been one full of extremes, but I don't regret a minute of it.
That's awesome that you've had so many opportunities, like you said, starting out from nothing to kind of being thrown into this the machine, like you said, of you know, the music industry.
Yeah, it's been crazy, and I'm so lucky. You know, I really, really am. I have good friends and mentors, really, that have given me, you know, opportunities, and I just try to show up for them. You know.
So you've got a new single that's set to release on the 14th of this month. Is that right? Called Good Enough For Me. Can you tell us a little about the song and your message behind it?
Sure. This quarantine thing is so crazy, and it's so easy to get, I don't know, to feel stagnant or to feel kind of lost in it, but I just am hell-bent on creating, no matter what it looks like, you know, in the world. I think just because immediate commerce has stopped does not mean that creativity has to. And so I've never recorded anything by myself in my life. I've always had the luxury, fortunately, of being able to go into the studio. And some, I mean, I have trouble plugging in my phone most days, much less turning on a computer and, you know, making sounds that come back at you. But I just decided I was going to learn to do it. So I bought a used interface and a condenser mic from a dude in a parking lot, you know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I recorded this song. I kind of had the song, I finished it in quarantine. I started it last summer. I subleased an apartment in Springfield, Missouri last summer because it was kind of just cheap and in the middle for touring. And so I really ended up saving money instead of having to always be in hotels when I was out, so I was kind of splitting my time. And I was really pretty apprehensive about making that move. Texas is home, and people in Texas are very good to me, and I don't ever want to make anybody feel like I'm, like, turning my back on that in any way. And you know, I just have never, for as much traveling as I've done, I had never really left my home base area. So I started writing it that summer. I had the first verse, and I thought it was a chorus. But then when this happened and everything was at an immediate standstill, I found myself going, like, what do I do? You know, and so I just do what I always do. I mix a drink and put on records, and I learn from the people of the past about what they did when they were in hardships. And I think that's kind of where a lot of that tune came from. But the part about it that I just love the most is that I got to have Chris Slotzhauer on it. And Slotzy played steel for Edie during the time that I worked for him. So, I mean, he was hired on like 2 weeks after I was. So we traveled together shoulder to shoulder, you know, I had no business doing that, but it was so much fun. And Slotzy, I guess he's just almost 70 now. But he always looked out for me, but he never cut me any slack. You know, he's just as ornery and, you know, as any steel player should be.
Right.
But I just think the world of him, and I still go up and visit he and his wife often. And one night we stay up and listen to records, you know, all the time, talk shop. We were listening to Guy Clark's Old Number One, and Desperado's Waiting for a Train came on. And he and I both, you know, kill me to know that I'm telling this, but like we both just cried because that's the way that I feel about him. Like, he's a hero to me in many, many ways. And, you know, he just dragged me around like I'm some punk kid, and I'm so willing and happy to go. So I sent him the track, you know, my little ramshackle ridiculous acoustic track, and he played steel and sang harmony over it, and I think it's so great. And so, of course, I sent it into my friend Pat Mansky in Dripping Springs, who actually knows things about making records, so he made it sound much better. But I'm pretty thankful to have that with Slotzy, really, you know.
Right. No, that's pretty cool that you have that relationship with him, and that's someone to be right there and actually push you through what you're going through in every event.
Sure.
You've been staying pretty busy right now, talking about the quarantine with your Facebook Live concerts. How have those been going for you?
I mean, I'm trying. It's such a funny thing. I'm very thankful that people, you know, want to get on and watch. But it's, you know, it's strange to not. It's hard to not feel like you're sitting alone in a room just singing at a gadget sometimes, but I'm thankful for that outlet because I really don't know what I'm kind of teetering on crazy anyway, but without somewhere to play, I think I probably would just jump off the cliff. But they're really fun. I try to make it pretty casual most of the time, you know, because technology is so crazy and half the time it doesn't work. And I just, you know, I want it to feel like people can come and have a place of reprieve from their own, you know, COVID mess as well. But it definitely has served as that for me.
I love your sound on there, and I'm sure everyone else does whenever you're playing your Sunday gospel deals. For sure, it kind of brings people back to the olden days of the gospel music, I believe, and hearing the country music in that way.
Thanks. I love doing those. I mentioned that church band that I grew up with, and they were so good about, you know, even those just, you know, really traditional hymns, they would swing a little bit, you know, they turn it into a shuffle, and they served as such a good reminder of the roots of country music, because a lot of it did come from gospel music. And I remember one Sunday a month, we would have favorites night, and basically the church band just had everybody pull out their hymnal and say, you know, pick one, make your request, and they could pull it off. They would at least take a whack at it, even if, you know, like, even if nobody landed on their feet on the other end of it, they would at least try. And those were some of my, like, just favorite memories in church growing up. And honestly, it's when I felt the most connected spiritually, because I think everybody, it was casual and it was relaxed, and you were allowed to be yourself and express your like, individuality, even through your request. You know, you could kind of say, like, this is what my week has reflected. I'd like to sing about this. It was just, I loved it. And so that's kind of what I wanted to create with those.
Man, that is so cool. Like, especially in church where, you know, a person that's just now going to church, you know, feeling awkward or something, and having that type of relaxing sound where people can just be comfortable with you and kind of mix it up a little bit.
Sure, that's such a hard thing, and I think that's such a, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not without blemish, and I'm certainly no saint, but I've got a drink mix now, but I hate that about the model, the religious model. Everybody does feel so, often it's easy to feel very uncomfortable and very convicted, and that's totally not the point, in my opinion. You know, I think it's supposed to be exactly the opposite, so.
Exactly, I agree with you. What's been the most difficult part of your career as an independent country artist so far?
Last year, so I had this little band together, The Standards, and I think those guys just hung the freaking moon. And they're all so talented. And they write and play on their own, and they were all kind of chomping at the bit to do that anyway. It got to a place where I was touring out enough. I mean, they deserve so much, you know. I just got to where I couldn't afford to pay them what they deserve and what they needed to be away from their family long enough to go out and kind of gain some ground. And I was doing this, kind of this model that I just made up, but like this divide and conquer thing where I would go out and, you know, stay out in one direction, go out east for as long as I could, and then come home and recoup some money and go out again. And I was taking the band out for some of those, and then some of the new places I was going acoustic until I could build up a following enough for me to even feel justified in asking a venue to have our full band. And that was working, but it just kind of came to this head where, you know, I mean, the bass player has two kiddos, and I get it, totally get it. The guitar player is running a music school, and, you know, I just couldn't afford to keep all of the wheels rolling. And so for a time I've been playing acoustic, and I do really enjoy that. It's made me critically aware of where my guitar playing is lacking, but you know, I feel like it's an opportunity to, I have more like one-on-one interaction with people when I am playing by myself, but I miss those guys all the time. So that's recently probably has been the most difficult. You know, but really, I feel pretty dang lucky to get to even try to take a whack at this thing. It's hard to complain about getting to do what you love to do, but that's probably, I miss the camaraderie of having those boys in particular.
Right. You know, not everyone can say that they have the guts to even go out there and try and do something like that. So that's pretty awesome that you did that.
It's either scary or stupid, but I don't know.
Can you tell us a little bit about your writing process?
Sure, I can try. It's totally chaotic, and I feel as if I give it, if I pay too much attention to it, I ruin it. You know, if I try too hard or I get too focused on the fact that I, like, maybe I've not completed something in the amount of time I would like, then I screw it up. You know, it just totally sucks. But then again, if I'm not too lax about it, I feel like I miss things all the time. I feel like even if the song is just total trash and nobody will ever hear it, that's probably the most I'm ever spiritually connected. And maybe that's kind of like hippie crazy stuff, but I do feel lucky to create it all, you know. And so if I'm given an idea that I can turn into something tangible, that is so much bigger than me, you know, because I'm a punk, really, like, at best. So when I get in it, I'm incredibly focused. I did go through a spurt where I felt like I could not write if I was not hammered, so that's been pretty interesting to kind of work my way out of.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, it's a real thing, no less. But I've been really making myself write sober, and that's even scarier to confront. I don't know, but if I'm going to parade around and talk about truth, to confront truth stone cold sober is much harder. But I just like to, when I feel like I have something, I turn off my phone and I negate everything else, which in some areas of my life has caused problems, but I feel like I can't compromise it. And usually I'll just turn on whatever recorder I have and I'll just play and I'll play with it over and over and over and over again, and I'll get out usually multiple sheets of paper and just make sporadic notes and, like, kind of make a mess on purpose so that I feel like I have total control over it while I build a song. And then when it's over, I feel so accomplished. That's usually what it looks like. I've certainly had extreme examples of that, and then some that just have come. I mean, I wrote a song once between Hillsboro and Fort Worth on my way to a gig without a piece of paper, just singing into my phone. And it's so rare that they happen like that, but I'm trying to honor every idea I feel like is worthwhile, whether it ends up with something or not. I don't know if that makes any sense, but...
No, yeah, we're so blessed today with having actual technology where we can just grab our phone and record something.
That's so true. I think about that often. Even just the bulkiness of a cassette player compared to how easy we have it, it's just we live in a time that's never been more conducive for creativity, but it's also pretty distracting.
Exactly. Yeah, it can take away from our lives very easy, and we can let it control ourselves very easy.
Oh yeah, I'm guilty for sure.
So let's see, what's your favorite song to perform live, whether it's a cover or one of your originals? How about we do both? You tell me your favorite song to perform live, original, and then your cover.
Oh, that's hard. I have this bad habit of really liking to play whatever I've just finished, you know, the newest thing, whether it's like totally fleshed out or not. And that's not a good habit to have, but it's like I'm a child and I'm like, look at my brand new toy. But outside of that, probably 1963, because it's pretty personal and it's, you know, a reflection of my journey with my grandparents. And I find often that people relate to it, and I love to be able to evoke some memory from their past that brings them some peace, because that was the whole thing for me. It was just my grandparents were this safe haven, and so I enjoy that probably the most, because I feel like I get to relive those memories with them every time I do it.
Oh, that's awesome.
And as far as a cover, it's totally like dependent on my mood, you know. But I went through this phase where I really loved, there's this Merle Haggard Austin City Limits performance that they did in 78, and the whole thing is on YouTube. It's in pieces, but it's so incredible. And they did this version of Long Black Limousine, and he cut it on a record, but this live version in particular is like where it's at. He even like flubbed some lyrics, and it's just so freaking good. So I've worked that song up because I was trying to be cool. It doesn't come anywhere near that, but I'd love to do it because it's got this like really old school spoken word part that's super serious, and then he yodels this thing at the end.
Right.
It's fun. It requires a lot of concentration, and I don't have that often, so it's fun to exercise that way, I guess.
Right. Oh, that's cool, man. That's cool. So, real quick, what advice would you give to a upcoming independent artist?
I would just say jump. I mean, do it. Just do it. That's I just remember for a long, long time, I just had this motto, like, the answer is never no. If somebody wants me to come play, I'm thankful and I'm going to show up, period. You know, and because of that, I played some crazy places, you know. Like, I was talking to somebody the other day about once I played it in the produce section of an HEB, but it was for a $50 gift card, you know, and that worked out great. The shopping cart was convenient, you know, for lugging my gear. The answer just was always yes. And I also try to, it's more of a struggle, I think, the older I get, but just to always be open to learn. You know, we live in such a, especially this scene, this industry in general, not just specifically Texas music, but, you know, it's just such a place of ego, and the machine demands that you self-promote. And it's really easy to lose sight of the fact that there is something to learn from absolutely everybody. Even if it's that person's a huge asshole and I don't want to be anything like that. Just to always be open to learning and just to play. Play every freaking chance you get. You know, and basically don't be above any opportunity. I guess that would be the best advice I could give, and try not to, you know, get just so inebriated him every night.
Right. No, I think that's some awesome advice there. And anyone that's listened to this podcast or listens to you and your story will see that that's the attitude that you got, is just to go jump for it. Anyone who enjoys classic country music is going to enjoy your unique style and captivated, truth-filled lyrics that you incorporate into your music.
So call upon the grace angel, and I'll drink Kentucky bourbon till I've had my fill. Straight shot of the old time religion, Lord, saints, good enough for me. It's the only thing that's real.
Thanks for listening. If y'all would like to know more about Kayla Ray, including music, merch, and how to contact her, go to KaylaRayMusic.com or search Kayla Ray Music on all social media platforms. And as always, for all of your Texas country music, merch, events, and podcast, go to RedDirtMerch.com.
Took the outbound SP train across at midnight, and they say poor folk, they can't travel by rail no more. You see, daylight travels heavy, nighttime travels quiet, and I hear she who travels fastest